Welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
And this is David. I've been ordered here by the courts to watch over these two and the drug bastards.
Well, not yet.
Not
but
yet.
We're getting there.
So yeah. So Damien, what have you watched this week?
Okay. I watched the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Now listen, before you say anything at all, you're not allowed to spoil one detail of this movie.
Alright. So I saw Alright, so there are some dudes. And there's something about imaginations. So the movie's crazy. Which was obvious from the trailer.
Yeah,
and of course, the director.
Terry, my man.
And it's... If you are a Terry Gilliam fan, you love the movie already. I mean, we don't need to tell you to go and watch the movie. You love it already. If you're not, you'll have all the issues that people are not telling you have with all these movies. It is weird. And it doesn't shy away from being weird. And it doesn't hold your hand in any way. And it's weird. Like, really weird. But it is really good. It looks beautiful. Obvious. Yeah. The acting is great. Again, obvious from the trailer. And the direction is spot on. It's a Gilliam movie for Gilliam fans. It's basically what it is.
Awesome.
And it's good to know that Leisure's last movie was good. Well, it will be good for some people, and I'm sure there's people who will absolutely hate this movie, like
crazy people.
Yeah, but they do exist.
Andrew's already finished beer number one. I'd just like to let everybody know this.
Okay. I also saw Brideshead Revisited.
Oh yeah, I saw you buzz about that.
I just did it because to prove that this was really
buzz.
I did it.
The buzz right. Thing is kind of insane.
Right. I put it in there. I'm like,
Damien's on Google Buzz.
So this is what Twitter feeds. No, Google gave me Google Buzz.
Yeah, that's not cool enough. So like, it makes sense to them because they have this already built-in distribution network that they can give people all these things. But if I don't want it.
No, I remember when it came out, it asked me. It said, Andrew, want Google Buzz?
No, but if you say no, the thing about it is it asked you if you wanted to go into it. It didn't ask you if you wanted it. If you said no, it would still be a tab.
Right.
Oh. So whatever.
Because it's Google. And I'm sure in like 4 or 5 years, Google will make it awesome. Because if you people don't realize something, Google has kajillions of dollars. And billions of people working like Google.
Yeah. Right? But they want something to work. FTC complaints
when Google wants something to work, they get it to work. Just as
At the same time, though, Google has had some failures. You know, there's Orkut. Have you ever heard of that?
I remember Orkut. Now everything they do won't be sparkly. But given time,
no. I think this one could work.
I just find it funny because they could have bought Twitter for cheap.
I could have bought Twitter 10 times.
I know they can't. It's friggin' expensive. Mm-hmm. Right, so Brideshead Revisited. It's a period piece about.
I think I've seen that one.
Right, about rich people who are miserable being rich.
And then there's like a poor kid there.
Right,
yeah.
Dude from The Watchmen. He's in it.
Yeah. Dr. Fantastic, right. Or whatever his name is.
Billy Crudup.
Right, no.
Yeah.
No, not Billy Crudup.
Dr. Fantastic.
No, it's not Dr. Fantastic. The smart dude who...
Oh, Ozymandias?
Yeah, Ozymandias.
Oh, I don't know his name.
Yeah,
okay.
I was just making up some... Because I knew it was some ridiculous thing.
So it's a period piece about rich people being rich and hating being rich because they're rich. And a poor person wanting everything that the rich people have. You've seen this movie before. You've probably seen it in shorter versions because this movie is pretty long. But much like Young Victoria, if you do stereotypical movie, well, it's still a good movie. And as long as you change enough things to keep it feeling a bit fresh, I guess it works. There's people who absolutely hate this remake. But they're all British people. I don't know any British people, so I don't care. And most people on the US side seem to love it. The movie, it's well acted. Can't remember all the actors off the top of my head. I know Emma Thompson is in it. She plays a model. Mm-hmm. And she's very vicious and vindictive, and she does that really well.
Is Matt? Oh yeah, yeah, that is Matthew Good. Sorry, yeah, yeah. Matthew Good is in it. He's Razzleman, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was just a good, it was a good movie to watch. I know I like period pieces. So if you don't like period pieces, don't stay far away. Because there's nothing that's going to win people over to this, but. If you do watch it, there's nothing to not like. You know where the story is going for the most part, but it's done so well that you don't really mind. Also got Harry Potter on Blu-ray.
Awesome.
The new one, or
yeah,
new one. Okay.
Yeah, isn't it fantastic looking? Yes.
And it sounds even better.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, that movie. I mean, David Yates, thanks. Thanks for doing the other two. And if you could make the 2D version as good as the shit.
Yeah, really, because I not didn't even know 3D Harry Potter foolishness.
I'd be glad, because I'm not getting that 3D TV for like another 10 years or something. I mean, they've been selling HD TV since early 2000s, and Jamaica has like 5 HD channels from one provider.
Yeah, what the hell?
So, and they're starting 3D this year.
They are?
Yeah, ESPN is showing the world.
No,
yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant the Jamaican providers.
No.
Which is why I was going like,
and
they
so
are?
We'll have 3D in Jamaica in like 30 years. And by that time, the world would have been dead.
So, the Mayans said so. Roland Emmerich.
They've been running both a lot. They were that smart, they'd still be here. Proves that they're stupid. What else did I watch? I started watching Burn Notice, the first season. Saw the second and third season, but I didn't get the first one. And if you like Jason Bourne, his seriousness gets a bit weary on you, because you know, he's just all serious all the time. Burn Notice is pretty good. So you say serious. It's a spy show. He's been kicked out of the CIA or whatever
he's been burned.
He was, or I think he's burned. Oh, I watched Fish Tank, but I want to talk about that when all of us have watched it. It's going to be my next pick.
Okay.
Cool.
That's it.
Pretty much. I keep meaning to watch that one, but
so I guess we're going to have to. Douglas, what did you watch this week?
I watched very few things this week. One thing I started watching, and I'm in the middle of watching because clearly it hasn't finished, is the latest season of Secret Diary of a Call Girl. And I think it's pretty decent.
It's like HBO.
Well, it's Showtime in the States, but it really started off on ITV in England.
I still like that show a lot.
Yeah, me too. And the thing that really got me, and this is just a stupid little thing, was that in, I believe it's the second episode, within the first, say, 10 minutes, there were already two songs by Devendra Banhart that were played. And I remember there was a third awesome song somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah, they have awesome songs.
They just cranked up the bias
meter. Oh, yes, that they did. But, it's good. It plays on the fact that now that she's written her book and she has this editor and she's getting ready to write another book and all this good stuff about, you know.
I actually thought that they had ended it in season two, when season two ended. Like,
yeah, me too.
That felt like they were like, yup, we realize this show is done. Moving on.
Yeah, and especially I've heard, who was it? I think it was John Cleese, that said that the difference between American shows and English shows is that the English people don't know how to keep a show going. And I kind of felt that way with this show. I felt like they were just like, yeah, I think we're probably done.
Actually, like, when you look at British television versus American television, I don't see the difference as that England doesn't know how to keep a show going, as rather they know when to end on a high note. Because they go in saying, we have 3 seasons to boot. That's how long this show will take us to write, to do, to make it amazing, and then we're done.
Except for
it depends.
Well, no, that's
no,
not.
No, it depends on how you look at it. You could say yes, that's the case, or you could say it's that they're not capable of going beyond 3 years. So either way, and it's not as if to say that there are not American shows, many American shows that go way past that and still.
Heroes.
I know. Heroes is crap.
Downloads.
I said there are a lot of shows that actually go beyond the 3-year mark and still are great, like How I Met Your Mother. The Office.
There are so many which run themselves into the ground.
Yeah, true.
No matter how, the rule of American television is you keep going until you're not making any money anymore.
First of all, Days of Our Lives has been on TV since the dawn of time. It's ridiculous, but they keep making it because people keep watching. Just like wrestling.
Oh yeah, Ryan makes a good point in the chat room. England has Doctor Who, which has been going on since God knows when.
Yeah, since the 60s. But technically it stopped for like 20 years or something. But
sure.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, right, so the one movie I watched this week that was not related to the if thing that we're going to talk about later is a movie called High Life with Timothy Olyphant. And well,
you smell the bias,
yes,
right?
Some other people, yes, there is a bias, right? I love Tim Olyphant, but also there was one person in it that throughout the whole movie I was like, I know this guy's voice, and it's I think his name is Danny, the sickly one. He is actually Max from Across the Universe.
I know who you're talking about.
Right, that's kind of cool. And this movie, it's not a great movie, but I thought it was fun to watch. It's kind of, you know, not as fun as, say, the other Olyphant movie we were talking about the other day.
Yes, Shannon, that movie is Canadian.
A Perfect Getaway, right. But still, you know, good to watch. It tries to be more serious than Getaway. But it's still funnish, and I like it. Oh, you saw it too? Yeah, it's good. I enjoyed it. And that's about it. I mean, I've been, you know, not watching movies and media and stuff.
I didn't talk about it as an unbiased.
All right, let's start out with a good note with what I watched this week. Last week we spoke about Proposition, and we were talking about my hatred for Westerns and how, you know, I told myself this is one of the blind spots I need to get into. So this
make you scared on fire.
This week I sat down and I watched Once Upon a Time in the West for the very first time. Sergio Leone's film starring Charles Bronson. This movie is fantastic.
How did you come to that?
For those people who, when the word Western hits their ear and the image of Clint Eastwood pops up in their head, shut
you're
the fuck up. Charles Bronson kicks Clint Eastwood's ass left, right, and center.
Sir, please don't make rash statements by watching two Westerns. It's not blue, it's not back down.
Put down the Kool-Aid.
Right.
Sergio
Lewis. Let's relax.
There was also James Robard, I think his name is. He played the old guy in Magnolia, the guy on the deadbed in Magnolia. He was Chang, I think the name is. The guy with the huge mustache and drinks coffee. Like, this movie is fantastic. I love the characters. Like, the action in this film is brilliant. They have that very well-known scene at the beginning when Charles Bronson comes out on the train and you have the three guys on the platform and it's the three versus one gunfight. It's just fantastic. And, of course, the music, the Ennio Morricone score, it's brilliant. I love it.
What's this about you not liking Westerns
again? I went back into the past and I beat up past Andrew for saying such things.
Don't you tire of being wrong? Just don't understand.
Also this week on the good movie front, I saw The Messenger. The movie from last year with Woody Harrelson and Ben Foster about the army...
Cool,
go out and tell people that people have died. This movie is fantastic. It's nominated for Best Original Screenplay for the Oscars, and I actually want it to win that. I mean,
have you seen the other?
I've seen all the films nominated for that award, and like, everyone says Inglourious Basterds should win it, and I mean, we all know that I have my Quentin Tarantino bias, right? But honestly and truly, I prefer to see The Messenger win the screenplay award. This movie is fantastic. I love the characters. I love the story. I love the fact that they just give us moment after moment where you just want to cry.
Does Tarantino know that you're Tarantino Johnson? Didn't pick his movie as number one. No, you don't want it to win anything.
Mm. Christoph Waltz still gets his award. You know that.
I think maybe Tarantino is going to come on the podcast next week. Moving back.
Send him a shirt.
Yes.
To my number one fan, Douglas.
That's brilliant. Also this week I saw Edge of Darkness. It came out in the theater. A pretty decent revenge film, but nothing as good as like our favorites that we've discussed on the podcast before.
Someone said it's not Taken.
It's not. It's definitely not Taken. But the thing about it is that it plays itself as a serious thriller film as opposed to Taken, which is a blowout action revenge film. And then whatchamacallit, Douglas is about to flash the camera. Well, what was I saying? Oh, Edge of Darkness. But then every once in a while when it comes to a moment where something is actually happening, an action scene is actually happening, it just handles itself so well. Like, you remember that Martin Campbell directed this film, the guy who did Casino Royale and GoldenEye. It's a good film. I enjoyed it. It's something that people, you know, for now, when it's January is gone, it's almost the end of February, you're going sad because there's nothing at the theater to watch, check out Edge of Darkness.
Okay. So, was it shown digitally?
Yes, it was.
Okay. I think I'll go and watch that.
And the last film I'll talk about is Mean Streets. For the first time, I sat down and I watched Scorsese's 1972 film Mean Streets with Keitel and De Niro. Brilliant acting, not so much on the story and the film in general.
What, like, Mean Streets?
Yeah, Mean Streets.
But Johnny Boy, Andrew! Johnny Boy!
As I said, brilliant acting, but overall, like I felt like it was just a mosaic of scenes that didn't really make much sense together. Like, they go from one to two, and you never really understand exactly how it connected properly.
Because two is after one.
How much beer have you had?
Wait, sorry, I'm the one... Okay.
I see that you've also seen Women in Trouble.
I wasn't going to talk about that.
I know. How was Women in Trouble?
You watched that
yet? Absolutely not.
I watched it for this DVD article I wrote, and it's not a good movie. Wow. Like, I mean, Douglas spoke about Secret Diary of a Call Girl and how I like that. Like, watching that show makes you realize how easy it is to make a comedy out of prostitution and all of these things.
Prostitution is always funny.
Yeah. Well, Women in Trouble has two call girls, a porn star, a wife, a psychiatrist, and they can't make any...
a wife a call girl?
No. These are...
I
think that's exactly what he did. You know? I mean, they are the same thing, right? I mean, she is getting paid to...
Totally,
yeah.
Totally. She's
you know,
getting
the man
paid for
provides
it.
The bread and she provides the
other bread. I don't know.
Okay,
that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, something good. Come on,
bear.
I know that everyone who hears this is going to guarantee that none of us gets married. We should move on.
We should move on into the news of the week.
What happened this week, Andrew? Tell us. Tell us. Please.
I would tell you.
Andrew, something happened. Will you please let us know what happened? What happened? Did nothing happen in the news today?
No,
or this week? I can't believe it.
The recession finally hit the industry.
No. News this week. apparently... HBO might just be getting a spin-off show based on In the Loop.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, the Washington section.
The Washington section of the show. Damien, this was one of your favorite movies from last year.
If they're getting the cursing dude, I mean...
At the same page. Yeah, Malcolm Tucker stars and we're all down for it.
Yeah, I
mean,
And I think we can skip the next one and move on to Rihanna because we're not allowed to talk about this person.
Oh, how are we not allowed to talk about this person?
Can we agree that we're not allowed to talk about this person?
he's no longer his number one. He's fan. Sorry. It's fair game.
I guess we move past that one.
No,
we
were just joking. Go ahead.
No, I'm in the first news item. Tarantino apparently says his next film might end up being a southern western that has slavery.
Really? Westerns never had slavery in them before?
No.
No?
Well, I mean, they didn't.
They didn't. Saddles. I mean, that's as close as it
is. So stories about people living in the 1800s. Yeah, late 1800s or early 1800s didn't have slaves? I'm sorry. How does that happen?
Don't you know history? Some slaves are freed in like 1602 or
something. I don't care.
Well, now first he kills Hitler with gunshots, and now he's putting his sleeves in what? This is ridiculous. The hell kind of racist.
I read an article, I can't remember which website it is, I think it's Cinematical this week, talking about, is Tarantino too dependent on homages when he's making films? I mean, we see a lot of films, and I mean, general films, like an average movie is just a regular everyday story. But when you look through Tarantino's filmography, you can see that in every one, he's going for a specific genre, making homages to all sorts of films all throughout his movies, and now he's going into westerns. I mean,
well, you see, I would say I agree with the fact that he tries to pay homage to all these things, but at the same time, I don't agree with your last statement, as if to say because he's doing a western means that he has to, you know, he's, you know,
going to be, this one will
this
make
is another homage. I mean, like, everybody, when you direct a movie, it is a genre movie because it has a genre. Every movie has a genre. So just because people have movies in a genre does not mean...
That's simple wordplay. Yeah, every movie has a genre because it is a movie and it has its own genre. But when someone says that it's a genre film, it's kind of like saying that the only way you can enjoy that film is to be a fan of that genre, or it sticks so closely to the genre that, as I said, you need to be a fan to like that film. Like strict horror films that people love today, they know that I can't even, like, Trick or Treat, for example, that was a strict horror film that knew exactly what it was going for and stuck to its genre. While today you see movies which are, if you look under genre on IMDb, you see drama, romance, comedy, this. Those aren't genre films. Those are multi-thing. I don't know. That's just a thought.
I got over when I see articles like this because they write up big articles about should this director be... Should he be so dependent on this? Like, who cares? The movies are good.
Exactly.
Like, honestly. If he finds some way to make the same movie over and over and over and makes it good every time, I mean, he can't fault him for the...
And at the same time, that's what most people do. Exactly.
The same movie time and time again.
Yeah.
And people praise him for it. So why is it that... I mean, if that's all you're good at, stick to what... Why should he venture out into somewhere and then make a shitty movie, and then you guys are going to turn on him and say, Tarantino is moving out of his wheelhouse, and this is what we get whenever he dreams of madness. Just let people make what they want to make, and if that's all they can make... Because when Christopher Nolan was doing The Dark Knight, right, I expected it to be a typical Nolan film where it wouldn't be straightforward, it wouldn't be... It starts here and you go straight through and it ends here. Because none of his films are like that. It's always broken narrative. Right? But he was able to do that. And the movie was great. Now, should I have gone, if before the movie came out, I could have said, if he keeps going down this road, I'm going to stop watching his movies when all of his movies with broken narratives are also, doesn't make any sense at all. Whatsoever. So just let people who are good at certain things stick to what they're good at. Yeah, you might say it's kind of boring, but you know, if they make it good enough, can't really complain. And complain when shitty directors keep making shitty movies. Complain that Michael Bay has been burning up shit for 20 years and made like half a good movie like 10 years ago. That's what you guys should complain about.
Liam Tarantino, he made a whole good movie. Armageddon was pretty awesome.
When was that again?
I agree with you.
And
the man is due, at least.
And there was The Rock, of course. That was pretty...
Again, 90s.
I forgot about that one. That one was awesome. There was a time in my life when The Rock was...
The only movie you would watch.
Yes.
That and Face Off.
That movie is ridiculous. I've seen it up again recently,
yeah?
And it's completely like nothing makes any form of sense.
I'm sure it doesn't, but my young nostalgia card.
Oh my
heart.
Word! I tell you, nostalgia is just out of the screen. So bad at it. So John Woo doesn't have a clue what he's saying. But the dubs at the end. Thank you, John.
In
my childhood, great.
Anyways, moving on in news. Another news item that came out, the Last Dragon remake, the Barry Gordon film. Barry Gordy's Last Dragon. Apparently Rihanna might be cast in the film.
Oh, so I don't have to see it. I don't even need to. Oh, that's a Rihanna movie.
Really? That.
Alright, so
Hold on.
Let me nerd.
Who's the baddest?
She doesn't look that
good. Come on.
She cannot sing. I'm pretty sure she can't act at all. So the answer is no.
So I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong in any way with what you just said. However, we're talking about The Last Dragon. This is a film that does not require you to be able to sing or act. It requires you to show up. And look at Sam Jackson, who apparently is in the film as well.
Yes.
I'm sure he's going to be shown off. And just be completely blatantly over the top. Like I'm sure if you heard Rihanna was in Black Dynamite, you wouldn't wrong it.
No, I wouldn't.
No, but here's the thing, right? There's a flaw in both of your logics. Mm-hmm. First of all, Damien, her songs are pretty awesome.
Some of them.
Quite a few of them.
I'm sorry, what?
Her songs are pretty awesome, okay? They're catchy, and I like them, okay?
No, that's what you should say. They're catchy, okay. I like them.
Alright, they're catchy, and I like them, okay?
Reserve good for Andrew, like Aretha Franklin.
Alright, fair point. Right? Andrew, your logic is flawed as well, because you know why? I can watch that movie already.
Which movie?
Yeah, Shownoff.
It was made in 1980 something.
And it was awesome. Right?
And it was awesome.
Bruce Leroy! Oh, that movie's awesome.
So,
is that on Blu-ray? That phone, right?
Exactly. So, I don't need them to make another one for me to be able to watch this movie.
No, seriously, Hollywood, look how far you're gone. You've gone. And you guys are going to dig up every single piece. When are they going to remake Casablanca? That's and the apartment. I just don't understand.
Don't worry, it's on the list. It's on the list.
No, it's coming. They're just waiting. They're like, alright, we're keeping these for the just in case. And when there's nothing left and all the writers are
we're going to go down a Miramax ploy where we're like, okay, we've got a month before we lose
and
all
no our one is going to the theaters for any reason whatsoever. And Avatar 9 is out, you guys are just need to go. The classics. It's time. So sad.
Okay, so the last bit of news really isn't news, kind of. It's just a discussion thing I wanted to do. People were rumoring, and then the rumor was squashed, that Lars von Trier apparently challenged Martin Scorsese to get back with Robert De Niro and remake Taxi Driver. We've seen films like Funny Games where directors come back to remake their own films. First of all, would you even as a thought,
yes,
would you even want Scorsese,
yes,
to remake Taxi,
yes,
Driver today?
Yes.
And
yes,
are there any,
yes,
other films and filmmakers,
yes,
that you would want to possibly remake their own films?
Yes. That's all I can say. Actually, no. Okay, here's the thing. I have to say, right off the bat, I haven't seen the first Funny Games. I do actually kind of like the second Funny Games. So there's, I guess, that, not bias, but maybe you could tell me that I'm really stupid, whatever. On top of that, Von Trier has done this already.
he did it with, what the hell was the name of the movie? Dog something something, Dog Dancer or whatnot. He challenged a Danish filmmaker, I think, to remake his movie five times, or his short film five times, that he had already made. And each time he remade it, there was some sort of limitation as to what he could do.
Right.
And again, I have
so
to
he
look.
Challenged him five times, or he actually
remade the challenge was to remake it five times. And
oh.
Each time, you had to do it in a specific way. So, like, no slow motion, all in black and white.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And I will preface this by saying I have never seen this movie. I really want to see this movie, though, especially
because Von Trier
is awesome. I mean, Antichrist was fantastic, but
Chaos Reigns.
Yes. So just that concept, it seems extremely interesting to me. I know that, you know, I complain sometimes about all of these remakes that are being made, but if it's a remake that is happening with some sort of creative, like, a motivation that is other than let's make the same thing again.
Money.
Exactly. You know? But I don't even care about the money part. But if somebody is going to say, okay, I'm going to take this script that was written in 1954 and I'm just going to change the date to 2010 and give it to them, then that's kind of ridiculous. But if you're going to do something with it where, you know, maybe it's not going to be the same movie, maybe it's going to be the same characters and you do something else with it and you have a different take on it, or maybe it will be the same movie but it's some like weird fancy thing like what Von Trier did before, where he's like, okay, no slow motion, okay. No, you can do it, but no flash photography, or, you know, something like that, then that just, maybe it could easily flop, it could easily be crap, but I would be very interested in seeing what the final result is.
So Von Trier is a madman. It's pretty obvious. I don't want him to this. Although, I mean, I've read some reviews about Shutter Island and they're not positive.
Oh, really?
Actually, I've heard the complete opposite from most people.
Really good ones.
So there's one from IGN UK that gave 2 out of 5 stars.
Whoa.
And there are some other ones that gave it pretty low ratings. But again, the remakes thing, even if there is some creative impetus from the director, I want them to keep making new movies. I want new experiences. I don't want a slightly tweaked old experience.
But yeah, okay, you know what? I put in the sort of league of what I'm trying to like explain or trying to describe as like a creative remake is, and I know this is probably a really bad example because most people don't like this movie, but Nine would be something that I would consider.
You're talking about really, the animated?
No, oh. the musical.
I'm confused.
I would consider that to be a really creative way to remake a movie because, you know, everybody knows it's based on 8.5. It's actually stuck in there somewhere in 8.5, but it completely is a different movie that stands on its own, and that is very interesting to me, even if people say, and I'm sure they're quite right, that it really is just a load of crap.
Even, I mean, if it was a situation where like the first Batman, that's like the 80s Batman, or
mm-hmm.
early 90s, and the Batman Begins situation where they take it in like they're essentially reimagine the movie but keep the same name,
mm-hmm.
that could be interesting, but then it just feels like a remake and a reboot, and Hollywood is rebooting the hell.
Yeah.
Like, I hear that Warner Brothers has hired Chris, or wants to hire Chris Nolan.
Oh, for Superman.
Right,
yeah.
Godfather.
No, they have hired him to supervise the reboot of Superman.
Oh, that's
Superman.
Confirmed now?
It's confirmed. As far as I know.
Like, I mean, they just keep going back to the well. No one. I mean, I understand that money is tight and it's hard to try new things because you want to stick to the things that will make you a lot of money. But people, we need creativity. Small movies tend to inspire people to become directors and, you know, things, screenwriters, stuff like that, more so than like large big budget movies which are the spectacles. Those garner more fans because they're more eyes see them. So Star Wars was seen by millions and millions of people, and everyone loves Star Wars, so it has a great fan base. But there's a, whenever I listen to like creative screenwriting, most of those guys, it's always like some small thing that triggered them into becoming writers. And so we still need that creative vision, and plus a lot of these big budget movies sometimes mine from the smaller films. So I mean, without small films basically paving the way.
Avatar mine from Pocahontas.
I said stick away from the Avatar jokes today.
Can we put that in the pantheon too? Like, we never talk about Avatar until the next episode,
I guess. We can just,
damn it.
He had so many. I know you had so many Blue Man jokes coming out there.
Yes.
Yes. Look at Douglas.
I'm sure Scorsese has can put his, I mean, vast amount of talent towards something else. I mean, he did remake. Technically, he did remake. Infernal Affairs.
Yeah. No, but are there any like films directors like you would want to see them rehash their own content? Like, for example, like thinking off the top of my head, what could be interesting would be, like, for example, we've seen how many remakes of Yojimbo. Could you imagine Kurosawa going back today with today's technology instead of,
yeah, but that's the thing, a lot of the reason that people like Yojimbo is because of the context that Yojimbo was done. They like the black and white, they like everything about the time period that it was done, and they appreciate a lot of the things that he did in that time. I don't think remaking it now would, I mean, the only time directors should remake their own movies is when the movie sucks. Alright, so like George Lucas, give him free reign to remake the last three movies. But all he's going to do is create worse versions of those three movies. Can you imagine worse versions of those three movies? No, you can't.
I don't have to imagine them. You know why?
Because
I don't need to watch them.
That's the only time you've met. Like, have M. Night do over his whole movie catalog. Start from the beginning, and we're going to go over with this, and we're going to get good writers, and you cannot write anything on the page. But it's never going to happen, so.
Okay. And moving on into
now into trailers.
Into trailers this week, there was
the
Neil Martian Centurion trailer came out.
We will not abandon you, sir. What's left of the Legion is yours to command, Nakul.
If Etain is hunting you, you might as well be dead already.
We can't outrun them, so we have to outsmart them. But we're so far behind enemy lines, it's our only chance of getting home.
And can I just say that this trailer looks gosh darn amazing. This is the guy, I believe, who directed...
Darn.
Yes, gosh darn, I did say that. who directed... G-Man. The
wow. No, that was...
Wow.
No. Please do. That one, I give you free rent.
I know it's a trick. this podcast is over. I'm good.
Okay, so listen, I've seen this trailer, and you know what I think about this trailer? I think that this movie is going to probably be really bad, but
although Carolyn comes in,
that's exactly no. Okay. Actually, no. It looks like it has a lot of really good action scenes. So what it looks like is it could be a really cool movie to watch because it's got all this fighting and running around and stuff. And you know what, it might be a good movie, but it just doesn't strike me as that. At the same time, the cast, there are at least three people that I'm kind of
notables.
Exactly. Right, I'm kind of happy for. There's Michael Fassbender, who, you know, he's in your movie Fish Tank, he's in Andrew's movie
Blasters.
Who was I thinking of? Dominic West from The Wire.
McNulty.
McNulty, love him. And there is also...
He was in 300.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. That
yeah,
was
I know, awesome. I know. He's also been in that crappy Punisher film, so
oh, yes. Oh, yes.
There is a lot of bad things to say about him film-wise.
There's a lot of bad things to say about all of those people from the wild.
And the third person that I really like that's in this movie is... And I'm going to, you know, make an embarrassing statement to say I don't even know what her name is, but she's in all sorts of stuff. She's in... Whoa, my
head
is just gone.
What are it, Olga Kurylenko?
No, not Olga Kurylenko. The Irish, or I think she's Irish lady. She is in the Coen Brothers movie with the crazy man, Javier Bardem. She's Josh Brolin's wife in that one. She's also in The Girl and the Cafe, I believe is the name of it, with Bill Nye. She's in.
We don't know her name. Let's move on.
I really enjoy watching her in any movie that she's in, and not because you know I like to look at her, because she really is a really good actress.
Well, it helps that she does look.
Well, she's not that great looking, to tell you the truth. But yeah.
The chat room is saying Kelly MacDonald.
All right, Kelly MacDonald.
I have to say that I love this trailer. I think this movie looks fantastic. Neil Marshall, he directed The Descent.
He directed Doomsday.
He did.
He wrote Doomsday.
He did.
He directed Centurion. He wrote Centurion.
Yes.
Wait, whoa. Hold on a second.
Coincidence.
He directed and wrote The Descent as well. Come on. And I think Doomsday is better than you give it credit. It's not a great film, but Doomsday is definitely not a horrible one. Fassbender is an amazing actor. He's proven it time and time again. Hunger, he was amazing in. He was amazing in Inglourious Basterds. He's like, God damn it, I was right. And I mean, I'm sure he's brilliant in Fish Tank, but I haven't seen that yet. But this movie looks brilliant. It's like, you definitely see that first scene coming in and you think to yourself, oh, it's the beginning of Gladiator all over again.
It's true. I'm sure this is Spartacus.
You heard it.
But like, just this idea of the seven survivors getting back out of enemy lines or whatever, it looks like it'll
I'm
be
sure
a good film. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm
sure at the end, one of they all like lie back, and
right.
One of them
just
kneels
like,
and then pretends to kneel, but gets up and then throws a spear and nicks
that's
it.
Some tall black.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bet that McNulty doesn't make it. Right here and now.
Okay.
Money on the table.
Money on the table. Damon, what do you think?
Trailer looks bad. I'm not a fan of this trailer. It looks like a better version of In the Name of the King.
That's not even a... You can't bring Uwe Boll into this conversation.
Look,
it's not allowed.
I'm ashamed to say I actually watched that movie.
I did as well.
You are stupid. You're Andrew.
Andrew made me watch it. He was like,
that's not a good enough.
This movie's going to be good. It's going to be awesome.
That's
so
not
I was like,
good
okay.
Enough. And when it started, it said directed by Uwe Boll.
But I didn't know who he was at the time.
Wow. And like 3 minutes in, he didn't go, this movie's nonsense. Right. So it does look to me, right? I haven't seen In the Name of the King, I've only seen the trailer. And it kind of reminds me of the In the Name of the King trailer. With
that's
like a little mix
dirty,
of 300 in.
Dirty.
Look, I understand, but that is the first thing that came to my mind. So, right?
Maybe it's my fault. Didn't your mother teach you if you have nothing nice to say,
right.
Not to say anything?
I kept quiet for all that time, right? I mean, it's probably my fault. But, I mean, I'm hoping that this movie is good. I like a lot of the cast, and I haven't seen The Descent. I refuse to watch Doomsday. Because it's just a poor version of my boy, right? 2012 director. Great.
I get why people don't like Doomsday, but to be honest, like for the first like half of the movie, when they're actually in the city with all the crazy people, that kind of reminds you of Mad Max kind of a movie. That part is really good. The rest of it, yeah, kind of goes off, but.
Only one
for you who loves
that's
who loves those movies, I think it's worth you checking out at least.
I just haven't gotten a chance to watch it. really did want to watch it, and other things got in the way.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, the only thing that I keep seeing in this trailer is "In the Name of the King." I'm sorry, it's all that's all my brain links to.
I'll ignore you, and we'll move on to the next trailer.
Fair enough.
Get him to the Greek.
The music business is failing. I need some brilliant ideas right now.
Two words. Mexican Jonas Brothers.
Don't talk.
How about ringtones on urinals? I call them flush tones.
This is serious out here. I got 6 kids. You know how many Air Jordan 6 black kids wear?
You. We need ideas.
Next month is the 10-year anniversary of Val the Snow live at the Greek Theater. We could put on an anniversary concert. He's rock music personified.
I'm a motorist.
I want you to go to London to pick him up, then bring him back here for the show at the Greek. Can you handle it?
Definitely.
Some love.
I just want you to know that I respect you.
Okay, now that's making me feel uncomfortable.
Spin-off movie from Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Damien, what do you think?
Okay. I was worried that you were going to say something.
I already know what he wants to say, because we spoke about the Cyrus trailer the other day.
Right. All right, so if you heard what I said about the Cyrus trailer... It's that, I mean, the trailer, let me say this, I'm hoping it's funny because Russell Brand is in it, and he's
why
ridiculous.
Why does everybody think he's funny? I mean, no, wait, hold on, I'm going to say, right off the bat, I haven't seen any of his stand-up or anything.
Oh, right, that's
I have exactly. only seen, I know, yeah, that's so true. I've only seen his appearances in the big American films,
right.
But I don't understand how people... We'll look at just those, because there are a lot of people that do, and right. say, this man is the funniest right. guy in the world. Because, I mean, I'm not saying he's not funny in the movies, you know. He's fine, he's an okay comedian. But, really funny, like, extremely funny, like, would, you know... No, all right. No.
I think he's funny.
He is.
You're retarded.
No, I think that I've
seen his stand-up. I've
exactly.
seen his stand-up.
You guys have seen stand-up.
No, but even Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I thought he was hilarious in that film.
He was great.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall, he was like... average.
He was even in some Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was good in that as well. That's the only reason I watched him. No, the movie isn't good. No,
yeah, bedtime story.
You can't deny that he's the only... Probably the only good thing to come up to the movie.
This trailer, though.
The trailer looks... Alright. First of all, I hate Puff Daddy. So that
is it Puff Daddy or is it Diddy? Or is
His name is Puff Daddy.
Sean Combs or is it...
When Notorious
Puff
was alive...
Or is it
Puff Daddy. Right? I know that Notorious is dead. He shouldn't be called anything because he's not doing anything.
Can I tell you, like, they've been a long time, they've had that image out on the internet, you know, with Russell Brand and Jonah Hill running and something in the background. I tell you, up until now, I never noticed it was Puff Daddy in the background.
No, I actually really like that picture, by the way, that's still.
It looks alright. I'm just hoping that the movie is really, really funny. All of the bits with Brand, I like. All of the bits with the fat dude. He's just being himself again in another movie, god damn it.
But he's a funny motherfucker.
Can I tell you, I actually don't like the parts with Jonah Hill in it.
Oh, really?
Like I don't think it's so much of him being himself, but just, like, I don't know. Like, it seems like he's like, right. there's so many comedians when you can see that they're being themselves, and they're being... really funny, like honestly funny, which is what I've felt Jonah Hill as for so far in films. But this trailer makes it look like finally he's being pushed into a leading role and he's having to make jokes every other line rather than in his other films. And now, as you said, it looks like he just might be trying a bit too hard. Like, the writers were like, oh, we can fit one more joke into that line.
Yeah, it's funny.
Well, okay, so, this trailer, you see, the weird thing about this trailer is, first of all, it's a bad trailer, you know, it is a bad trailer, it makes this movie look like a bad movie, but, I kind of know, based on the trailer, and a little bit of news, but even if I just took the trailer, on face value, you can see the type of story that's being told, and the type of story it's... the type of story that I actually generally like to watch on, in a movie, which is the...
well, this isn't going to be one crazy night, but one crazy long period of time where you have a specific task that you have to do, and you keep getting sidetracked and
by crazy and crazier situations.
And
drunk rock stars.
Exactly. And that type of story plays very well, at least personally for me. I like that type of stuff.
That's what I'm hoping.
Exactly. So I'm hoping that it could be good, but just face value, by the trailer alone, I would have to say no. It doesn't really look all that great. And like I said before, Russell Brand doesn't sell me. Really, Jonah Hill does, but like you guys are saying, he doesn't look that great in the trailer. And you know what? I'm wondering. I know, like, Russell Brand is playing his character over from
Fucking Sarah Marshall.
Wouldn't it be fun? And I don't know if he is or isn't. If Jonah Hill was actually playing his, who'd grown up maybe, you know, 10 years later, and he's almost somebody. Clearly, he's not. He's still
Being a musician, yeah. He's now working as a producer or something.
Yeah, so I thought that would be an interesting, like, side story if that were the case.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Like, the trailer definitely doesn't say that it isn't Jonah Hill from that movie, but I kind of get the feeling that it isn't.
Yeah, because he's not as clingy or as, in love with Alice Snow as he was in Forgetting
Sarah. I actually recently rewatched that movie, and gosh darn it, I honestly really love it. It's one of my favorite Romani comedies.
I'm actively trying not to swear. Is that what that is?
I'm trying not to swear. You got me.
PG-13, it's all up. Is that what you're trying
to do? I'm trying.
Okay.
I should have notified Damon.
Motherfuckers.
Think about the children.
No. So with that, we can move on into our feature review this week of If, the 1960 British film directed by Lindsay Anderson.
There's something indecent about you, Travis. The way you slouch about. You think we don't notice you with your hands in your pockets. The way you just sit there looking at everyone.
You three have become a danger to the morale of the whole house.
You can take that cheap little grin off your mouth. I serve the nation. You haven't the slightest idea what it means, have you? To you, it's just one bloody joke.
You mean that bit of wool on your tit?
You're in the sixth form now. You should be prepared to set an example of responsibility.
You're a nuisance.
And as such, you must be punished. Well, have you anything to say? Any of you?
Yes, I have. The thing I hate about you, Roundtree, is the way you give Coca-Cola to your scum and your best teddy bear to Oxfam. And expect us to lick your frigid fingers for the rest of your frigid life.
Go down to the gym. Wait outside.
Right, so I should go first.
Okay.
This movie, so busy.
All right.
Oops.
All right. So Douglas chose this film, and I watched it.
Have you seen the tomato meter? It's 98% of it.
Yes. They've been wrong before.
I know. Or have they been wrong?
I'm going to let Douglas start this out. You can tell them what this movie is about and all such sorts.
In a nutshell.
That was the last time this I doubted Andrew. Alright. I doubted Andrew. Alright. I went and I saw Near Dark.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Let's not go down that road.
That is in the pantheon.
Chips are on Andrew's side. No, I'm just saying. Chips are on Andrew's side. No, can Douglas win me over?
Okay, it's the first feature film to have Malcolm McDowell in a role.
Really?
Yes.
It's his first film? Movie.
Yeah.
Whoa. Can I tell you what kind of surprised me? Like, I knew Malcolm McDowell as the crazy dude from Clockwork Orange, but recently, like, today I was looking it up on IMDb, and I clicked on his page, and I saw the picture of him today, and being like, I did not know that was the dude from Clockwork Orange.
Because
he's in Heroes.
For me, it's the other way around. I know Malcolm McDowell as the old guy who's in all of these movies, and then I saw Clockwork Orange and didn't recognize him for, like, years. And then recently I was like, what do you mean this is Malcolm McDowell? What? I mean, now that I know that it is him, you can see the similarities between the two, the young and the old, but he really looked different when he was young.
So I love it.
Anyways.
Yeah. Anyway, this is his first feature film. It is, in a nutshell, a story about a boarding school where, you know, I mean, this is British boarding school back in the day, set in 1968, when, you know, you've got all these monolithic rules and regulations and things that you have to do and whatnot. And I'm sure they still have that kind of social network and structure in the film. Right, so I'm not in the film. See, I'm just distracting.
That's what I have to do.
Like, no, but okay, so you've got that whole scenario going where clearly you've got bullies and people being bullied. You've got this thing. There's a weird sort of strata in the sense that you've got this the faculty and staff that are clearly, you know, top rung, and then you've got these like senior students,
kind of like prefects,
right? Kind of like prefects that are called whips. Below them you have the seniors who are just, I guess, like sixth formers, and then you've got the regular old, you know, scum, they call them.
That's what I call them.
Yeah. and everybody defers to the people above them, and of course, you know, you've got Malcolm McDowell, who is kind of the ringleader of his group, and I don't think they actually in the movie refer to themselves as this, or anybody refers to them as this, but in the credits, I love that they are referred to as the Crusaders. So he is the leader of the Crusaders, and essentially, this movie is about them kind of rebelling against the situation that they're placed in, and, you know, being... Some of it is, you know, them being malicious, but at the same time, a lot of... You know, they get in trouble for weird things like not having enough spirit, as opposed to, yes, you're in trouble because you just stole that motorbike 2 weeks ago. You know, why? Anyway, that just, I got caught off guard with that. But this movie, it's good and it's bad. I understand why it has a 98% in the tomato meter.
Because critics are great.
No, because if you love this film, you love
exactly.
it. It's one of those.
It's one of those films that I can see somebody like actually connecting with it and loving it. Personally,
so
I didn't.
Actually, I'm surprised you haven't seen it, because didn't Film Spotting do this film in a marathon recently? And usually you
crazy.
So where was I? Essentially, this movie is extremely strange. It's cut up into chapters, kind of like Antichrist, and each chapter deals with a section, like one progression after another towards the end result of this film, which is really, really extreme. And
Battle Royale Extreme.
Yes. And it's also, there are very many times when random stuff will just happen. Like, for example, and I mean, this doesn't really spoil anything. There's a scene where Malcolm McDowell and his second in command essentially go to a, I guess, coffee shop, and they get some coffee. And there's this girl that serves him the coffee. And clearly, you know, he's trying to... Malcolm McDowell is trying to flirt with her in, you know, that whole bad boy kind of way. And she slaps him. And then he goes to play a song, and all of a sudden she's in love with him on the jukebox. And then they fall on the ground, and they're, like, making love like tigers with clothes on. And then all of a sudden their clothes are off. And then all of a sudden their clothes are on, and they're walking back to the table with the second in command. And then she says, "I love you, second in command," whatever his name is. And I just don't understand
Gilliam.
Exactly.
I was trying to point it out to you to read, but as soon as I finished this film, I tweeted. So I just watched a 60s British film which had tiger sex and LARPing.
And what?
LARPing, live action role playing.
Oh, okay.
You know, from that movie with
role models
from Role Models LARPing.
And what's even worse is that she then disappears for the majority of the movie.
Of course.
And then she reappears right in, like, the last section for no apparent reason. I just don't get it. And that's just one of the very many weird things that occurs.
That's from Douglas.
Who loves...
Entire...
Weird shit. I borrowed a DVD of this film, and I, like... I felt really... You talk about random things happening, but what one thing that just seemed ultimately random and completely without purpose, and I want to know if this happened on your version,
I'm not sure about that, which is why I haven't talked about that. I got two, and they had, yeah.
Like, no, but the DVD I had, like, I'm honest to God, had randomly it would go black and white. Kind of like it was a screener that you were getting. Randomly, it would just flip into black and white, and then flip back to color, and it would have no explanation or reasoning as to why this is happening. Like, I mean, you watch films like Kill Bill, which did the black and white and color thing, but you understand, you kind of get a feeling as to why he's doing that. This film, no, it feels like, oh, we've been in color for a while. Switch.
Too much lighting.
And that just kind of freaked me out for a while, watching this film. I mean, there was tiger sex, which got me. But, like, for the first hour of this film, I was with it. I was totally with this film. Like, for people, like, we spoke about Das Boot a couple weeks ago, and about a film that gives you an experience. This is a film which gives you an experience for the first hour. It tells you, this is probably what it would be like if you were in a 60s British boarding school. Yeah. And I believed that. I mean, maybe you have a couple characters like Malcolm McDowell there, and you have the scum, and you have the hierarchy thing, and that's all cool. And it works out, and it's a really cool kind of situation and thing to...
Yeah, they really do develop that very well. The whole... They bring you into where they are. You feel like you're there. I know I saw that.
Okay.
But so on that, I feel that it was, you know, technically a pretty decent film.
But then it goes into our tiger sex and LARPing.
Yeah,
and I don't want to explain LARPing because I don't want to spoil that for anyone who hasn't really seen the film.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. For me, I don't know. I would say to somebody, if you really want to watch this, watch it. But just, you know,
like,
be careful, be wary of tiger sex.
Like, you definitely watching this film can't separate Clockwork Orange Malcolm McDowell Malcolm McDowell.
You cannot at all. That's actually what I liked about him. I was like, this is one of the Droogies. Okay. But at the same time, he didn't get to show himself off enough, I thought. That
I kind of loved when he came in the film and had that mustache.
Oh yeah, that was fantastic. But I hated that he totally cut it off in like the first.
He had to.
I know, but I was just like, damn it.
Kind of like high school, you know. Yeah. You gotta go cut your hair, gotta go polish your boots. It's a decent film. It runs way out of my section of enjoyment towards the end, but
yeah.
like you see, like Near Dark was just
nonsense
from start to finish, but this movie...
Fuck you guys. Really.
But this movie really gave you something for the first half. And
then took it away. Do you like this movie here? We did not get it. How long is this movie?
Like 2 hours. Almost 2 hours. Almost 2 hours.
Literally. Are you sure it's the same guy that did both halves? And the student didn't go, fuck you, director.
I will kill you.
I don't want to go into your movie. Hire some hack.
So, what would you give this film?
It's hard to give this film a score because technically I know it deserves, like, say, an 8, but personally, in terms of my enjoyment of this film, I'd give it like I enjoyed pieces of it and I enjoyed quite a bit of it, so I would 5, maybe 5.5.
Right? Damon is doing this.
Yeah, I don't want to give it. I'm not going to give it on the lower end, on the negative end, so of the average. It's a little bit. Like, no, I'll give it a 5. A 5, right?
I imagine when regular people, like, who don't watch, like, these kinds of movies, see this film, they go like, that's why I don't watch art films.
Yeah.
So this is what you want me to watch instead of Transformers. That's
what it's not. Personally, I'd give this film about a 6. Like, because of the whole school thing, like, I really love that. I mean, I don't want to repeat it, no. Around a 6. Like, And as I said, if you fall in love with this film, I understand exactly why you gave this a 10 out of 10 in your review. Because it's one of those kinds of movies which you have to love it to get the love it.
You have to love it to love it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Weird.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what alcohol gets.
I'm sure that's a Beatles song right there. Yeah.
I'm sure Gandhi said that.
Right after that eye for an eye thing.
Oh, yeah.
And with that, I guess we can end the show.
I suppose.
You have to love it.
This is Andrew.
And wow. This is
Douglas.
You can follow me on Twitter at Gman Reviews. You can find me writing gmanreviews.com. You can find the podcast there as well as on iTunes and the podcast alley.
Google Buzz.
Search for me. I'm Andrew Robinson. You can find me on Google Buzz.
Clearly you can, because it's no longer private.
It isn't.
No, I mean, like, the Buzz has wholly privacy issues.
Oh.
Does Viagra have a Twitter page? Can I send updates? Someone should do that. Twitter/Viagra.
They probably do, to tell you the truth. You can follow me on Twitter if you'd like. My name is DJ, I lost his name. Also, you can see extra articles from Andrew, and I believe it's The Film Stage?
TheFilmStage.com.
Yes. Okay. And Damien, you can follow...
Never.
Actually, you can, because I know for a fact that Damien is on Google Buzz.
I use it once and I'm like, oh, this is fun. It's almost like talking to the guy. It's on Buzz, except not really.
So look for Damien White on Google Buzz. You'll probably find his personal email, so you can send all your deep and dark secrets to his email.
Google has a powerful filter. I found it hilarious that some report came out that people are texting twice as much as they're talking on cell phones.
Yeah.
Which I find remarkable that we've regressed with technology. The phones are now abysmally powerful. It's like 1 gigahertz processors in phones, and people are, oh, this archaic way of punching in what I want. If only there was a way that I could hear the person.
You know what I think about that? I'm texting you what I think about that.
Okay,
and with that, good night.